start with the rapture. I hope it'll be after the rapture. Yes, you can get them. It'll be page 42 in your notes. I call it the social sign, for lack of a better name for it. You could call it the sign of prosperity or progress or civilization or whatever you want to call it. And remember, man's civilization has always been away from God. He just learns more refined ways of sinning. More complete ways of sinning. All the world would call it progress. Why, I put that word in here. Progress. Can you imagine in the days of Noah, and Noah for 120 years preached righteousness and judgment to come? Can you imagine how it fell on those delicate ears of the antediluvians? What destroyed this great civilization? Look how much we've progressed. But when you read the account of Paul and line of Cain of the progress away from God, I say today our civilization, our progress, hasn't made better Christians. Now, more Christians. Civilization has been away from God, and education away from God. Here's why we have said the automobile has taken more people away from church than it ever took to church. In the olden days, they got to church better with an archetype. And the grandson gets to church with a waking being. This sign agrees with the former signs on the common civilization progress. We had several of them, like the Apostle Peter said. In the last days, scoffers will come say, where is the promise that is coming? You know, for all things continue as they were from the fathers. We've got a progression here. And it's always ever upwards and more advanced and more civilized and more godless. I have that one. Or as Jesus gave the sign of both Noah and Lot, was one of eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Natural progress. Let me read this from Daniel 12, 1 and 4, to get the background, the time element. And at that time, as in 1145, when the Antichrist plants his tabernacle in the most holy place in the city of Jerusalem. You get that time element in Matthew 24 when our Lord Jesus said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, three of the mountains, then shall be a time of trouble, such as before. So the time element is in the great tribulation period. Keep this in mind. This is when Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, this man of sin will stand in the temple of God, or sit in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. At that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, that's Israel. And then shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since it was a nation, up to that time. Then shall Michael, the prince that standeth for thy people, stand up for thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. Then, verse 4. This is our text. But thou, Daniel, shut up the book. Seal the book. Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. There's no doubt as to the time, Elizabeth. The church has been raptured. When this comes to a full, as we have seen, there isn't a sudden break off, and then all of a sudden things begin to advance. For the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, we'll see when we come to it in prophecy class, is a time of prosperity, according to Daniel Gabriel said unto Daniel. A time of prosperity in chapter 8, Daniel. By prosperity he shall destroy many. That's the Hebrew. And by flattery he obtains the kingdom. And we saw in Revelation, last time we got it anyhow, in the first seal, the Antichrist rides to power by an angel giving him the kingdoms of the world, as the angel comes forth out of heaven riding on a white horse with a stephanus on his head. And give the Antichrist the kingdoms of the world. And Daniel shows this too. Now, beginning the time element, the rapture's taking place, and 3.5 years later, we have this time of trouble starting. This is the great time of trouble, such as never was, such over the kingdom on earth, ever be again. But certainly, we see the starting of it. I believe we're seeing it today, if we're well out of history on the plan of God. All through these signs of the coming of the Lord. There never has been a time in us history when this fact is being fulfilled like this. Knowledge shall be increased. And many shall run to and fro. I'm going to take the last verse, as in your notes. Verse 4. Knowledge shall be increased, or abound, or be multiplied. Gabriel had told Daniel in the same verse, seal up the book, even to the time of the end. And so far, as I can see in the signs of the times, we're fast approaching the time of the end, if we're not very near. I think every child of God's heart should thrill with the knowledge that the coming of the Lord must not be too far away. I've said this all my life, but I'm this much nearer. And certainly, I'm in hopes he hurries, because I haven't got a whole lot more long time to wait. I hope to walk in the rapture alive rather than die first. Many try to circumvent this knowledge shall be increased by adding a bit. Knowledge of it, that is the Daniel, shall be increased. Grammarians will not permit it. Thayer says, in his excellent lexicon, gnosis, or knowledge, when by itself signifies intelligence or understanding, objective knowledge, not of some specific thing, or it would be honest. The Holy Spirit would have said that if he penned knowledge of it, of Daniel. Or he said knowledge of Daniel. He's been talking about the book of Daniel. They say he means knowledge of Daniel being Greeks. That's what he means at all. And I'll show you why if you go along. And neither will the Septuagint uphold it. It won't follow that either. Man has learned more of the secrets of nature and ended more in the last 100 years than in the last 6,000 years. This is what Werner von Braun said, and he was a Christian. And he headed up that Thalamus, Nevada, development of the A-bomb. Brilliant man. Everybody recognizes him, but he's a Christian. I've read several of his testimonies, and I believe with all my heart he was saved. He called it the information explosion. Information explosion. Remember that knowledge shall be multiplied. It has the idea of a flood tide of knowledge. Ever increasing as a flood tide. We'll see when we come to an invention, this is impossible without electricity. And without the computer. Here's why they can tell you so much about trends in meteorology and so many fields. I don't believe that man could have charted trajectory to meet the moon without computers. It's utterly impossible. Somebody has said the computation necessary to hit that place on the moon, and we hit it within 100 feet. It would have taken hundreds of brilliant men 10,000 years to make the computations. Remember, we had the revolution of the Earth upon its axis. We had the moon in its various phases and places where it's going to be. Remember, they had to hit it where it's going to be 3 days from now. And then circle the moon and then hit it just right. And remember, this was from the Earth, as they controlled the panels in those days. They said it would take 10,000 years to make out the figure and to do it, to hit that spot. This is one of the reasons why the Russians are so far behind us, really, in the development of the computer. And the only reason as far as they are is because they've stolen from us almost everything we've invented. As the Chinese and the Japanese have done also, and Koreans, South Korea. But one of the main reasons why the Russians, two reasons the Russians didn't put a man on the moon. They haven't yet. One is miniaturization. The Russians never have been able to really get this miniaturization. That is, and one of the primary things is a perfect miniature, infinitesimal, ball bearing. Remember here not long ago, it was in the news, they intercepted a complete ball bearing machine and being shipped to one of our allies, and it was going to wind up in Russia. We were using a surrogate company to buy it. Here's why the Japanese regularly survey Silicon Valley in California. Miniaturization, they could not make really a module that they could land on the moon and get back off again. The other is computing. They're way behind us in computerization. We'll have more to say about that invention when it comes to it, but get started here. He also, and I'm quoting from him here, I didn't put his name down in your notes. TV, nuclear physics, thermodynamics, secrets of the composition of the atom, with medical discoveries, have accelerated into phenomenal heights, even in the last 50 years. If you read medical history of how the doctors operated 100 years ago, you'll see how far medicine has come. They've not only learned how to charge you more, they've learned how to cut you up better. This is the Christian physicist that's Werner von Braun. I'll let you spell it. I didn't look it up. I got this. In 1967, a Christian physicist on the atomic bomb called it the information explosion. And writing in the Reader's Digest, not heavy, I'll bring my file, he said on the rapidity of the accumulation of scientific knowledge, that knowledge increased by doubling in one decade between 1950 and 1960. All the knowledge in 6,000 years doubled in 10 years. And doubled again for the fourth time in 1967, in 7 years. Now with the new silicon chip, much faster, he said, all the knowledge acquired by man and preserved in usable form from the creation of man to the year 1750 was doubled in the following century and a half. It required only 4 for the next doubling, and only 10 years for the next doubling. So man in 7 years doubled the learning of 6,000 years. He continues, 200 pages of authentic new information is published every minute. I have an honest contention, Neil. I remember
they first started out, they had a, they had that steel wire. Then they started
microphotography. I don't know if you've seen this or not. This is the microform. This is the whole Bible. The whole Bible comes through little plastic. In other words, they could take this and put it into the machine and print it out, and it's the whole Bible. Every word in the Bible, in the authorized version, is on this piece of paper. No, they had some at the book rooms there for a while. Ask her again to see if they could find them. I wouldn't be without this. This was rich. I've got to get some. I'm not going to answer that one. This is a little quartz watch. I gave $1.50 for this at Kmart. They had a whole bunch of them there. I gave $7.50 the first one I bought. So that's about 7 years, and if you want to buy a battery for it, it costs you $3.50. So I bought two of these last time and took the battery out of one and put it in this one. This is the whole movement in it. The printed circuitry. I believe this is a condenser up on top, isn't it? I don't believe it's a transistor. I think this it wouldn't need a transistor on that. It has a 1.5-volt battery that runs it. This is the printed circuitry in copper. If you want to look at it afterwards, because you might lose it, there's a little silicon chip. I've tried to tear these things up to get the silicon chip out of it, and I tear up the chip every time when I try to get it out. This thing here messed up the whole thing trying to get it out. But it's only about 3/16 of an inch square, counting the outside form of it and everything else. And I also wanted to bring a picture of this silicon chip. I've got a big picture of it blown up. And the circuitry in it is out of this world. I'm talking about knowledge being increased now. If I had time, I would like to give you how this silicon chip has been developed. We actually have one, it's in action right now, called a 1M. And the 1M means 1,000,000 circuits in a chip that size. 1,000,000. Now, really what they're trying to do is get it thinner and smaller. They did this because they had to go by the speed of electricity through a wire. But now they are working on it. Bell Laboratories working on it. Cray, the Japanese, have just announced in the Tampa Tribune last week that in the silicon, some kind of conference they're having here, I think in about 2 months, if I remember rightly, they've got it in here for the state. They claim that they have, well, of course, Bell Laboratory has one with 4,000,000 circuits in it. 4,000,000. They tried for so long to get a circuitry that would be accurate, durable, and not lose its ability. They had the Cray 1, and then they made the Cray 2, weighed about 5 tons and cost about $15 million in a computer with chips in it. But now Bell Laboratory announces that they have one with 6 amps, 6,000,000 circuits. This article I brought it with me. The Japanese said that they have now developed one. This is one of them, but that's not the one here. They have developed one with 16,000,000. All the later ones, they couldn't get beyond 1 million at first, until they left off using wires. They use fiber optics, so that it doesn't have to go around a wire, or even through a wire. It goes through a laser beam. And the circuitry takes it off the laser beam, so that it can take, it can have 16 million circuits in it, the Japanese say here. Remember here, last year, they caught 4 Japanese touring the Silicon Valley, taking pictures and buying a lot of our secrets. If you want to see it, you can see it after this. But I'm still going to try to get one of these. If you find anybody that's got one that hasn't been covered with its glue on the top, try to get the glue off it. There's a... Well, this is actually what happens with this fiber optic. And using a laser beam going through it. You know, this one company claims that the whole circuitry throughout the whole United States will be by this fiber optic. Remember I played fiber optic. Each fiber optic is only, I forgot what the width of a hair is. Well, that one in this computer is 150 times smaller than a human hair. The fiber optic. And, the laser beam goes through it, carrying 16 million bits of information. And it does it, they say, within a billionth of a second. And this new one is going to be even more remarkable. What I'm trying to get is information explosion. They say that one computer chip with that 16M can hold the information in, I think it was 40 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica on one chip. In that Cray 1, they had, I believe it was over 200,000 computer chips in it in order to be able to carry the information necessary. You can imagine the chance for all kinds of things going wrong with it. But with the 16M, the Japanese are developing, and they say the first thing they'll be buying all of our computer chips from them if we're careful, because of our stinginess in providing finances. We finance the whole world and everything else under the sun except our own development. That's the strange thing about it. And then, of course, Congress is so short-sighted because we're not going to need any of this stuff because we're going to make a brand-new treaty with the Russians. They're going to tear up all theirs, we're going to tear up all ours, and we'll all live happy ever after. And like I said, the Russian bear will turn over on its back and scratch its stomach while he eats you. Knowledge shall be increased, shall abound, shall overflow. W.T. Brom, librarian of the state of Connecticut, said over 2 million technical and scientific articles are published each year. He said there are over 7,500 technical and scientific periodicals. How much of this could have been possible 100 years ago? Without the discovery of electricity. Remember the first machine was a steam engine, didn't use any electrical at all. Then by fire. But here's the thing I want you to note about knowledge being increased. And that's the literacy of the masses on page 43. Knowledge shall abound. Diffusion of learning. When I was a young fella, only a few people got a college education. It's almost impossible for the average person to go to college, unless you're both real rich. Now, anybody can go to college if they've got any energy at all. You can either get a scholarship, you can work your way through, or you can borrow it. The government loan it to you. Then about 9/10 of the kids are not paying it back. This is why they're turning it over to private collection agencies. They're being able to get some money. They know how to get blood out of a turnip. Let's look at the second one. It's in the first one in Daniel, but I want to get knowledge first. Yes. In the realm of science, in the realm of discovery, invention is very, very necessary. It's not necessary for living straight. They don't learn that. Evolution has ruined the knowledge of God. Knowledge of life, knowledge of morality. What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? That's what I mean about this knowledge on the fallen line, not on the godly line. And it's a knowledge away from God, not toward God. It's amazing how the devil has taken over the whole educational system. And by decree of the Supreme Court, they've ruled God out of the school and out of all public life. Do you think the founding fathers of America would think it's a wonderful advancement if they came back today and saw how we treat the church, treat education? Remember, the first 109 universities and colleges in America were founded by the Church of Jesus Christ to teach religion. Most of them are in existence now. Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Oberlin, Cambridge. First 109. In fact, all education was controlled by the church and the family in early America. Wasn't state run at all. And every one of those 109 are apostles. They're hellish. They're run by the devil. Even the church was. I had a book for a long time, I don't know what happened to it, on a great revival that swept through Princeton University in PCD. That's not too long ago. I was 6 years old. Great revival. Can you imagine a revival in Princeton today? You ought to read some of the books I've got that came from Princeton. I've got several. Two on evolution. The evolution of the earth, the evolution of man. That's science. I'm the Queen of Sheba. Look at number two, the first sign in Daniel 12:4, many shall run to and fro. One of the greatest of modern Hebrew scholars, and he taught in the United States of America at Harvard University when it was Christian, a Jew by the name of William Jacinius. He's one of the greatest Hebrew scholars I think this century has produced. He said here in his commentary of the masses, that it is the greatest number of people going the fastest to the most places. That sounds like 19, as Nahum does, if you want to give a name. I don't think Daniel made any sense to the reader in Daniel's day. They've been going the speed of a donkey or a horse. We shall see this is what they did until just 100 years ago. A little bit over 100. Teenager. But notice this, for the time of the end. Daniel 12:4. Seal it up even to the time of the end. But it is a divinely inspired picture of the last days. The most people going the furthest the fastest. People don't think anything at all about going around the world. People jump in an airplane and go to San Francisco for lunch. I'm talking about the filthy rich. It took the discovery of electricity and the principle of the internal combustion engine to get man beyond the speed of a horse. There's much controversy about Nahum 2, 3, and 4, but I still like it. It sounds like 19, too. I came down, and I quoted this text. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the Hebrew literally is the days of his making ready. That is for his return. So it has to be in the last days, no matter which way you translate. I've got several commentaries. The chariot shall rage on 19. Well, he didn't actually say that. He said in the streets. The other hand says, go madly. I met one of those this morning. Almost wrecked me. They shall jostle one against another, and I've had them do that. In the broad way. They shall steam like torches, they shall run like lightning. I think that's whatever it's worth. I think it agrees with Daniel. Now, most people are going to go fast with the furthest. In the last days or the days of his preparation. There's no doubt about the one in Daniel. In just a few years, I put over 100, it should be just under 100. Or 1894 is a little under 100. So if I were you, I'd cross out over and put under. In just a few years, or under 100, in 1894, there were 4 automobiles in all of the United States. 4. If you want to call them automobiles, they were really glorified bicycles, or quad cycles. A few years later, in 1900, there was a law passed limiting the speed of a horseless carriage to 4 miles an hour in the city and required a man to proceed waving a flag, red flag, before it so he wouldn't stampede the horses. This is in Bigelow's magazine of that year of 1900. I'm glad that I didn't have to come down here this morning with 4 miles an hour and my wife in front waved, well, I'd be the one in front, she'd be driving it, waving a red flag. Hertz Rent-A-Car, and this was in the United States News and World Report, and it's also in the Associated Press. I cut it out of the press and up and U.S. News and World Report at the same time. And I put it in your notes. Hertz Rent-A-Car, in the Tampa Tribune of September the 4th, 1985, reported the number of cars on the road increased by 28 million in 12 years. From 1972 to 1982, from 97 million to 125 million cars. Keep that in mind. Or 27% in 12 years. From $125 billion, or some $125 billion, if only average 2 people to a car, there'd be 250 million passengers. And if conservative estimate 10 miles to a car, be 2.5 billion passenger miles. Wouldn't you, Phineas, be amazed if he could come back and read this and see it? By saying, you know, Phineas, we're there. But wait a minute, Hertz also estimated 38.5 million trucks. They didn't mention motorcycles, boats, and airplanes, and RVs, and coaches, and trains. Hearst estimated 1.5 trillion miles at 113 billion gallons of fuel per year, shelling out $705 billion. The greatest number of people going the fastest, the furthest. Remember, Hertz didn't mention any about airplanes or boats or RVs. Reader's Digest of May 1984 estimated that there were 437,373,845 cars, trucks, and buses in the water. Imagine that's kind of conservative. One more thought about the speed, and this is what I'd love to go down on. In 1830, it took the prairie schooner 180 days to cross the USA. In 1830, it took the Pony Express 21 days, with stations all along the route, change of riders, and change of horses. But 21 days to cross the United States in the Pony Express. In 1859, it took the railroad 4 days. Doesn't do much better today, stopping at every cow path. It's about 3 days to go from New York to San Francisco, even on the fastest one of these trains. In 1932, it took the oldest trains all day, about 9 hours. In 1955, it took 6 hours by plane, keeping just below the sound barrier, from 595 miles per hour to 600. Just down so they wouldn't break the sound barrier and break everybody's eardrums. The first jets reached the speed of 1,500 miles per hour, and they were first Air Force jets. They'd get over speed up over the speed of sound over the water and then stay above the speed of sound all the way, and you get that sonic boom all the way across the United States, but they were up so high and so didn't bother too much. I've heard 747s quite often flying around here, the first days during the war, as they broke the sound barrier. North Carolina had one come right over my house, about 150 feet, they broke the sound barrier right over my house. I thought the whole house was going to fall in. They came from South Carolina. The first jets reaching the speed of 1,500 miles per hour only took 2.5 hours to go across the United States. And of course, the Concorde goes a lot faster than that. The astronauts, though, in their spaceship, took the whole Earth in 90 minutes, or an hour and a half, so they at 18,000 miles an hour, so they crossed the USA in about 10 minutes. Steve, how could Daniel do that? Gabriel was talking to Daniel about it. Remember, Dave, Gabriel's no more omniscient than anybody else. Only God Almighty is omniscient. Turn with me just very briefly to, and I'm going to only give these very briefly because I want to get into the rest of it in the next lesson, to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And I want you to notice the time element. These are very graphic. This know as a surety, is the idea of it, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, hazardous days, grievous days, dangerous days. Of course, we're not living in those. If you don't believe that, you believe the tooth fairy also. Now, in the next few verses, there are 18 signs. Every one of them are one word in the Greek that we put in your notes. And that is disobedience to parents. Paul couldn't think of one word to make up one. He could get both of those in the same word. He would have done it if he could follow one. There was one. Even to invent it. So that's the only one that has two words. In the Greek, all the others, one word. Sorry. I'm going to go through them very briefly. However, just turn over a page. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it's right on one page over. Probably that far. In the 4th chapter, and beginning with verse 2. 4:2. 2 Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Won't put up with it. Won't have it. If you don't believe that, wait till you get out and start to one pastor and your church wants to call you and you go preach what God tells you to preach that day and see if they call you. They'll probably say, like they did about my Pauline theology book, you know, one of the publishing houses, supposed to be a Christian publishing house. They said, your publication doesn't fit within our program. I need to see why. I've read some other of their publications since then. But after their own lust, shall they pile up to themselves teachers because they're itch for novelty. That's one translation, Wade translation. I think it's pretty good. They're itch for novelty. And I shall turn their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto faith. You want to know what the greatest message today is in most churches? Faith. I'm talking about the preponderance. Remember, 100 million people will go to church, what church message, in the United States of some kind. What do they hear? Oh, you know if they go to Bob Shuler's church. Sweet nothings to tickle their little ears. He's an ear specialist. Paul wasn't. Paul said, if I were a man pleaser, I wouldn't be a pleaser of God. There are many other texts we could take on this last day of prophecy. Every New Testament writer mentions it. But let's come to these words. The first word is alutoi. Self-lovers. Do you notice the first two are self-lovers and money-lovers and ends with pleasure-lovers? One word in each one. And they all come out of that first one. Self-lovers. Rather than lovers of self. Self-lovers. Paul calls it idolatry. It is. Covetousness, he said, which is idolatry. They said, no coveter who is an idolater shall enter the kingdom of God. Self is the God in life. Not others, not the wife, not the children, especially not God. Self. Look at the second. Lord, feed our guroi. And the word means money lovers. What about today? What's all this getting an education and getting ahead in the world and all that? Somebody said man spends the first half of his life spending his health to get wealth. He spends the last half of his life spending his wealth to get health. That's a commentary on today's living. Everybody, what's all this hustle and bustle? Even education and get ahead if you have to crawl over everybody's head to get there and step on everybody's head. Get all you can all you get. Look out for A number one and the devil take the hindermost. That's the whole philosophy. And they don't even have time to live. And all your time either getting it or telling it. Look at the third word. Alazoes. Boasters. Vainglorious. Self-assuming. Ostentatious. Swaggers. Empty pretentious windbags would be a good translation. Loudmouth braggarts. Noisy horn tooters. Old H.C. Morrison one day facetiously said, blessed is the man who tooteth his own horn, for verily if he tooteth it, it won't be tooted. That's for sure. But get your say-so in and tell everybody how good you are. And the fellow said, I know he's good because he told me so. Look at the fourth word. Hooper Espinoy. Haughty one. Proud. Arrogant. Puffed up. Self-assertive. Fifth one is very, very, this is the absolutely the end. Blasphemous. Famous. We get our word transliterated from blasphemy. Blasphemous. Is society blasphemous today? What about practically every TV program? Public speakers, if they actually give what they actually said. Blasphemous. Almost every comic. Are you expected from doomsday? But brother Ernest, that guy Ernest, the other fellow that writes that one, that they'll even have God Almighty with the senile old gentleman outfit sitting on a cloud up there running things, stumble bumming along. Or we have Oh God, Oh Devil, You, George Burns. He plays both, very apropos. And here he is, ready. He's got one foot on the banana peeling and the other one in hell. Well, the gays the benediction is Father, God, Father, Mother, Mistress. Blasphemy. What about America today? I don't know which to be the most amazed at. Man's utter, complete blasphemy or God's absolute patience. I know one's going to run out soon. How can God let man go on like this and go on and on? When God says in the Bible all the way through, when the cup's full, you're poured out. Make them a drink, a cup of their fornication. Look at the sixth word. This is two words. Genocene, apophase. Disobeying the parents. Is that today? Did you know in my lifetime, and it's only been 3/4 of a century, 75 next year, right? It wasn't just my family. I thank God for a couple of godly parents that knew how to make the kid behave. Another thing that H.G. Morrison said, and it sounded so ungrammatical until he straightened it out. He said, my parents raised me as often as I needed it. Mine did too. And sometimes when I fooled them, it didn't know I needed it. I thank God I had a daddy and a mama that made me behave and made it in the guava branch. And made me cut the guava branch. Mother would say, turn, go out and get me a guava branch. I knew that I had it. Judgment day arrived. Let's start from there and just go through these very briefly. You can see why you could preach on each one. But they really reared me and raised me as often as I needed it. Yes, they.